wants one of the things to happen to us is to develop a consistent grateful heart. I call this cultivating a greatly grateful heart. Amen. If I ask anybody in here, are you thankful for what the Lord has done in your life? I believe we'd have 100% if you're a Christian say, yes, I'm thankful. But many times that thankfulness isn't carried over in our daily life in a consistency. David's thankfulness produced a consistency of worship and praise. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Thankfulness will bring consistent praise. I want you to say that with me today. Thankfulness maintained will bring consistent praise. And consistent praise is vital to victory. At midnight, sometimes we dwell on prayer to the over, and thankfulness just doesn't even kind of enter in. But let me remind you of this. I just want to give you a little preview before we talk about a man that ended up with seaweed on his head, amen, in a whale's, well, I'm going to say a whale. You know, actually, we don't know what kind of fish it was. God might have made a fish to contain him, and after he spit him out, just that you never saw that fish again. Not can't even find a fossil of that fish, because the Bible said God prepared a fish. And we may surmise that it was a whale that has happened before. Amen. A great, one of those blue whales. There's actually a historic event where a blue whale swallowed a man. And it was a whaling vessel anyway. And they were in one of the boats where they were going to harpoon it. And he fell overboard and the whale came up. And I guess in trying to bite the boat, grabbed the man, and the man went in the whale. They killed the whale right after that and opened him up, and the man was still breathing. They ministered to him what they could to see, you know, what way back in whaling days, they put you on your belly and pull on you or something. They didn't know good CPR, but anyway, he survived. But it said he was delirious for 2 days. I thought, boy, I wonder why. So we all understand what a if you're in there, even if they killed him pretty quick and they were able to cut him open after they drug this whale up onto the whaling vessel and cut that whale open, a man has been in there quite a while, and that is not a place that you want to be in a whale's belly. Amen. Because for 2 days he's completely out of his mind, but he survived that. Amen. So, yes, people could survive something like that. But God let this man stay in there for 3 days. If this guy was in there for 30 minutes and he survived, or 45 minutes and he's out of his mind with just the pressure, you know, just the experience of that. You can imagine what Jonah was going through 3 days sitting inside here. But he's alive, but he's in the complete darkness. He's in the belly of some great fish that God prepared. He's got seaweed. The Bible said around his head, the belly's full of seaweed, and the seaweed's all over him. And he prays a wonderful prayer down in that place, and he does something very extraordinary for someone to do in that condition. He thanks God and promises to continue to show gratitude to the Lord. That's giving thanks in all things.
Yes.
Can you say amen? Hello? Some of us get a little trial and it blows us away and kind of sucks all the gratitude out of our heart. I don't really believe it takes us out of our heart. I believe it takes the focus off what God's done for us. And I've often said, don't focus on what somebody's done to you, because people are always going to hurt you, let you down, break your heart. And Satan is going to use people. And the Bible said your enemies many times will be those of your own household. Did you know a stranger on the street can come up to me and say, I think you are ugly and I don't like your looks. And I can just say, I can blow that off. I can say, well, you know, what can I say? I'm sorry. Don't look at me. Please, can you say amen? If you're that offended, just don't look at me. But if a family member, someone I love, trust, a friend, a trusted friend, criticizes me to hurt me, that breaks my heart. So Satan wouldn't use a stranger, because he know I'll blow that off. He's going to use someone closer to me. And the focus is not on, the focus is now on what somebody's done to me instead of what God through Christ has done for me. And the moment the focus shifts, the gratitude that's in my heart just lays in my heart. I'm not showing it to the Lord because my focus has shifted. I really don't think we are unthankful like the world. The world is unthankful. Can you say, man, one of the signs is that of men going deeper into the darkness of the last day is they would be unkind and unfaithful and unthankful. It's right in there with everything else. So when we pray, that prayer life, we focus on faith, we focus on petition, we focus on spiritual warfare, but many times we don't bring in an element vital to victory. It's called thanksgiving. In all things, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. That is not what the scripture says. We're leaving out something. In all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He said, don't make one petition without expressing gratitude. Well, something bad has happened. How am I supposed to be thankful? Be thankful you've got a God that has promised you that no matter what happens, amen, all things, if you trust in Him, everything, even that event where a man's 3 days in a whale's belly, will work together for good. Weeping lasts for a night. What have I got to be thankful for? Because joy is coming in the morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So the thanksgiving is always around. It's always there. The Bible said because they wouldn't worship Him as God when they knew He was God. Amen. Neither were they thankful. God turned them over to a reprobate mind. So we emphasize spiritual warfare. We know how to do battle with the devil. We emphasize prayer and the force and the power of prayer. We know how to pray. But what we don't put the emphasis on is what God keeps the emphasis on. Everything's to be done with a heart filled with gratitude to the overflow. In everything, give thanks. You're praying for a great need. Thank God. Thank Him that you have a great God. Amen. That through Christ you can come to. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thank Him for the privilege of coming in the very throne room of God. Amen. To have an audience with Him. That angels can't even stand in that presence without covering their face and their feet. And here you come, and here I come, not visibly into that presence, but spiritually into that presence. And we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and He accepts us into that presence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So yeah, the man was swallowed by a blue whale. As he went to bite the boat, he fell over, and he got him instead. That rowboat they take out to harpoon him. So they immediately harpoon the whale. They take the chains and ropes and pulleys and haul it up into the whaling vessel. They cut open its belly and a man rolls out and they revive him. And for 2 days, he's delirious. Amen. Jonah spends 3 days in the belly of a fish that God provided. And out of the belly of that fish, he prays. And he seals his faith with thanksgiving. He's in the belly of a whale with seaweed wrapped around his head. And he's thanking his God and promises him to be grateful. Wow. Amen. So you can talk faith all you want, but faith is linked to thanksgiving. Not just worship, but faith is linked to thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Giving thanks in all things, I will bless the Lord. You've got to have a consistently grateful heart to do that, to bless the Lord at all times. Can you say amen? And we forget that because I really, again, unthankfulness is attributed to unbelievers. Every Christian, I believe, to be a Christian involves a thankful heart. You couldn't worship God without it. All worship is qualified or disqualified by whether or not we have a thankful heart. So I want to cultivate and develop a greatly grateful heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to this carefully. I want to read about Jonah in just a moment. In his sermon on Psalm 103 first, I'm going to say this. Clovis Chapel, Psalm 103, by the way, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And that is a heart of gratitude overflowing into praise. Everybody say a heart of gratitude, overflowing into praise. Now, right now, if you're thinking about your problem, your heartache, your heartbreak, your circumstance, you're not focused on your God, and thanksgiving isn't well enough inside of you. Yeah. Sometimes we have to try to be like Holy Ghost cheerleaders to try to get people to cheer up on Sunday. Well, Jesus did say to cheer up, by the way. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. The Greek word is thelpsis. It means anguish and pressure. There's no one that can come to a place of faith that you escape feeling the pressure of living in a faulty body. Oh, by the way, I hate to break it to you. You live in a faulty body. If you fall off a ladder, something's liable to break. Amen. If you just happen to turn around too quick, you can pinch a nerve in your back. I know, because I pinched one last week. And it got so much better, I was thanking God for my healing. Amen. And then I rolled over in bed, and it grabbed me again. Then I had the choice, either keep thanking God or you know, and I decided to keep thanking him for my healing, even though it was pinched again. And I can't deny the pain is there. I live in a faulty body, but I'm thankful to the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad that, amen. Listen, you know, some of those things can lead to debilitation. Some of those things can lead to living a whole lifetime of back surgeries. And I'm thankful today. Amen. I'm grateful today. Amen. I just love him today. And right now I'm in no pain. And it doesn't matter if the pain comes back three or four times. It doesn't matter. I'm grateful today. I'm grateful today that I'm dealing with a pinched nerve that God is healing and may have healed already. Praise God. Well, Brother Venable, if you don't just say it's done, it won't be. Oh, get off of that stuff. I serve a God who healed me of cancer, and I didn't have to fight to get it. Jesus bought it at the cross, and I didn't have to fight to keep it because the gifts, and the calling of God is without repentance. Can you say amen? I'm so sick of giving the devil credit for being able to rob us all blind in spite of God's intent to bless us. Putting all of that responsibility on us instead of a father who takes responsibility for us. Can you say amen? Your father knows what you have need of. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but if anybody come into my home when my sons were growing up to hurt them, they're going to have to go through me to get to them. Can you say amen? My shield of faith is none other than my God, who is my shield and my buckler. Can you say amen? We call all that stuff faith, and it's so laced with fear, it's unbelievable. We're afraid every minute of losing what God has given us through Christ. And we give the devil more credit for taking from us than God, who wants to bless us. You can't curse what God has blessed. Amen. He that what? He that sits back and see if you can keep yourself. No, he that keepeth Israel. Woo! He that keepeth Israel. He don't slumber and he don't sleep. Can you say amen? He's on guard, praise God. He watches over his word to perform it, not to let the devil defeat us in spite of his will and purpose. See, once you want such faith that it puts you in the driver's seat, you have to be responsible for yourself instead of God covering you. I don't want to be responsible for me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And guess what? They're safe. I looked up that word safe in the Hebrew. It means far above anybody's intent of evil. It means it's so high they can't get around it. It's so high they can't dwell under it. The foundation is so deep. It is so high they just can't reach that high. Demons and devils want to take the blessing, but God is the one that pronounced the blessing. And I read back in the Old Testament that even when a prophet sold out and tried to prophesy against Israel, only blessing would come out. And he went back to the king and said, I can't curse them. Amen. Because, and besides all this, the shout of a king is among them. Can you say amen? When someone shouts against them, he stands up for them. And that's why David said, you, O God, are my shield and my buckler. Can you say amen? If the shield of faith is a force within you, and if it shakes, you're done for. Then all of that is on you. And your faith is in your faith. And the Bible never wants your faith in your ability to believe, but in the faithfulness of your God who does not and cannot fail you. Amen. The Lord is my shield. The day I really get that and what that encompasses and what that means, I am taking the shield of faith. We believe somehow it's almost in mysticism, isn't it? If we just read Scripture every day, faith is going to just rise up as a force. No, if you read Scripture every day, you're going to be more dependent on your Father. Amen. Faith is in your Father. Yes, whatever you ask the Father. Amen. I'm going to go out and do this by faith. No, you're going to do it. You're going to do whatever you do, not by might, not by power. Even the power and force of your faith, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what took the pressure off Zerubbabel when he was given a task with such opposition. Can you say amen? God had to remind him, it's not in your strength, nor in the strength of your faith. It's in my power to bless what I have purposed. Can you say amen? I do not intend to ever have another nervous breakdown. I never quit preaching and I never quit functioning, but I went through nervous exhaustion. And I did it because, amen, I felt all of this on me. But right now, I'm not taking this. The Bible said, cast your burden. Where? Where do you? Oh, just by the force of your faith. No, by the faithfulness of your God. Can you say amen? Cast your burden on the Lord. There's intimacy in that scripture. It's not just an act of faith. It's a personal relationship based on trust. That word, cast your burden on the Lord. Well, by faith, I just give it to God. No, listen to the Hebrew. The word cast, say it with me, cast. It doesn't mean to just throw it away because I got faith, I'm just free of it. No, cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. I need a big guy. Yeah, you are beside me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want to show you what this means in the Hebrew. What they visualized when they heard, cast your burden on the Lord. Stand right over here, if you will, sir. This is what it means. It means to roll it over onto another. Oh, come on. This is all about God. This is not about a force within you. Amen. This is about a Father within you and a Father beside you and a Father watching over you. Cast your burden. Roll it over. Roll it over to one who promised every time, no matter how heavy, how big, every time you cast it upon him, he's going to take it. Can you say amen? Cast your burden upon the Lord. Amen. Roll it over onto him. That's what faith is all about. It involves a focus on a person and his faithfulness, that you trust enough to give him that and that he promises to take. Can you say amen? Cast your burden on. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Honey, people like to feel like they're in control and that they can develop their faith to where they call the shots. I don't want to be in control. There's a lot of heavy, burdensome responsibilities in being in control. If I waver, the devil can shipwreck me. But my faith is in one, no matter how weak. In fact, he says, when I'm weak and I trust him like that, then am I made strong. Faith isn't to make me strong, amen, except in the Lord. Can you say amen? When the Lord becomes my shield and the Lord becomes my buckler, when he is my defense, then I take the mighty shield of faith. Wow. And it quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. So I teach faith a whole lot differently, because I found a word in the Old Testament that defines every time faith is used in the New Testament. Because you won't find faith used, the word faith, but one time. But you want to find a word used hundreds of times in the Old Testament? That if you don't understand it, you cannot understand the New Testament concept of faith. It is the word trust. Trust in the Lord. See, faith as a force, you don't need intimacy with a person. But trust, I go to pastors' meetings, and I spoke in Lakeland to about 30 ministers, and the concept of us getting together, four of us in groups of four, meeting together on Tuesdays to have breakfast together and share with one another. Number one is friendship. I like that, friendship. We have to find a friend, amen, in our life. As ministers who understand another minister uniquely, you may think you do. You may think you got know it all. But until you have taken full responsibility, you can't. There's no way I can describe to you. Amen. Responsible to God, responsible to people, responsible to your family. All of these different things and unique pressures come. Friendship. We have to develop a friendship where we get to know each other enough to call that person a friend of mine. I've got a friend that is in a different denomination that we would disagree very vigorously over certain doctrinal points, I am sure. But I do believe this man, he is a believer in Jesus Christ. And I would love, through friendship with me, for him to maybe start rethinking some of his theology someday. Don't tell him I said so, but I'm just praying that way. Can you say amen? If we're going to win them, we can't win them by never interacting with them and acknowledging that there could be some believers over there. Can you say amen? Amen. And I'm convinced there are. But then after friendship, developing an intimacy, and you find out that someone is trustworthy, because you can't just trust somebody. That's based on someone proving themselves trustworthy. As this brother of mine that I meet with, two of them actually, you don't confide in someone and then that you know that if you confide in them, they're going to have it on the 6 o'clock news. Can you say amen? You just don't do that. So when it says confess your faults one to another, you got to find a friend that you can trust. I haven't told them yet. I'll get around to telling them, you know, because you've heard the story many times, but for the sake of the disc that's being made of the three preachers similar to us meeting together, they finally came to that point in their relationship that they could confide in one another, confess their faults, as the Bible said. Amen. And so they were doing that, said, okay, today we're going to move to the next stage. We're going to confess our faults to one another and so that we can pray for one another. For over those things, the first guy said, "Well, I want to confess that I haven't been a good pastor. I get angry sometimes. I speak in anger, and it's not the authority that God gives me. It's my own anger. I get frustrated. I take out my frustration on my congregation. Would you please pray for me?" Oh, brother, we're going to pray for you. We're going to stand in the gap for you. They go to the next guy. He said, I wouldn't tell anybody in the world this but you guys. If my congregation found out, if my wife found out, I have a problem with lust. I've been on the internet. I've been downloading this junk. I know I might get caught, but I'm driven. And I want you to pray with me for lust. And I wouldn't want anyone to know this. I'm taking you into my confidence. And they get to the third minister, and he says, "Brethren," he said, "pray for me because I've got this problem that if anybody takes me into their confidence, in spite of everything that I try and do, I end up telling somebody else about it. Before I know it, it's out. Who do you think got the most prayer that week? You're talking, I believe they prayed and fasted, did spiritual warfare, rebuked demons, quoted scripture. I can't keep secrets. With God, we have to develop more than just a read the Bible, build the force of faith, use the faith. No, we have to build a relationship with a God who wants to be intimate with us. Amen? And through that intimacy, get to know Him enough to begin to trust Him totally. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and commit thy way unto Him. And He will bring it to pass. Your way literally means in the Hebrew, it means to commit your whole life and everything concerning it once and for all unto Him. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, amen, casting all of your care. I love the Amplified, so I'll just bring it to you. In all of the meaning, the beautiful meanings of the word care, cast all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all, upon Him. Because, and remember that Hebrew word for cast your care, cast your burden, which is your care, upon the Lord. Amen. If you don't cast your care on the Lord, if you go out of here focusing on something other than His goodness, His faithfulness, His grace, His mercy, His strength available to you, if you walk out of here, the Word, the cares of this life and other things, it's going to choke the Word. So cast your cares. Roll it over onto Him so the Word can grow within you and faith can flourish. Everybody say, so faith can flourish. Amen. Glory to God. I think where people got off was when they read faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, they thought that just by reading just about anywhere in here or even focusing on promises, that will build faith. Promises really give us a stimulant to release our faith. I find a promise, I believe Him. Whatever I ask in prayer, believing, I receive. So we zeroed in on promises instead of the person. This book is not just a book of promises. This is not like a promise box sitting on your table. In this book, there is a revelation of a person. Can you say amen? And that's why trust is a better definer of what New Testament faith should be. Because to trust a person, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to cultivate a relationship with him. You can't just build your faith and go running, taking care of business through faith. You have to walk with a person, talk with a person, get intimate and close with a person. God wanted intimacy from day one. In the cool of the day, He came down looking for Adam because it was His nature to fellowship His creation. Hallelujah. Amen. So He's called us first to intimacy, then to faith. And a faith born out of intimacy is a faith based on trust. And when you trust someone that you know well enough to commit everything to them, then that burden can be rolled over onto them. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, what happens? How does my faith work? The Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Who is our defender? Can you defend yourself because you build your faith strong enough to constitute a shield where you are your own defender? God never wanted you to operate in that kind of independence from Him, even in the name of faith. Because if faith is a force, it's no more God. It's you through your faith getting the victory. But thanks be unto God, Paul said, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Woo! The Lord is my shield, and the Lord is my buckler, and His name is a strong tower, and I run into it. It is not by might nor power, even the power of my faith, but the power of my God. Yes, through faith, they had all of these great victories. But the faith was in God.
Yes.
Not faith in our faith. The root of all sin, all of it, is operating independent from God. God designed us to be dependent. And when they operated in independence, disobeying Him is operating in independence. Saying, "Behold, I stand," is independent. Amen? Talking about what your great faith has accomplished instead of your great God is independence. That's why the Bible said we can't have revival till the church quits being independent and gets back to dependency. Amen? Listen to this. Listen to this. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way. Will you say, "Brother Bimble, I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't go with the girls that do." Can you say, "Man, all that's well and good, but there's other wicked ways that are more subtle and not as glaring in our life." Amen. You know what is wicked about the flesh is that we want to operate independent from God. Amen. That's why that chart your own course thing is such a big loaf of baloney. Can you say amen? Television preacher preaching, getting this tape set for $160, 12 tapes on how to chart your own course. You just set your own goals and you just release your faith and God is obligated to give you whatever you've decided you wanted. That's independence from God, and independence from God constitutes a wicked way until we get back to dependence. There's a whole lot of sins that come out of that independence, but the root of it all is operating independent from God. Anything that makes you dependent on God is your friend and ally to help you develop true faith. Can you say amen that pleases God? Amen that will make you a servant of God and not just a servant of self. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You can be a disciple while denying yourself and receive great blessings in your life. But if you become self-serving, you want to circumvent the will of God to prove your faith to people or to elevate yourself in people's eyes, and it's the wrong motive. There are people that won't come here, for they're afraid that God might hand them a cross.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. If you want to be a disciple of mine, deny yourself, take up your cross. They're afraid God may say, "Here, this is what I really want from you." And yeah, it's going to cost you your convenience and comfort, but it's going to give you all of the joy, peace, and power of my kingdom. What an exchange. Lest the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it can't bring forth any true fruit. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So many people are afraid. They're going to go to a church where they hand them a cross and say, "God wants you to carry this." And they say, "Oh no, by faith, I'm casting off all these things. I want to live in the lap of luxury. I want to manipulate the seas and the waters, the storms and the rain. I want to manipulate every bone in my body, every breath. I want to manipulate everything to where all life is just revolving around me in a great perfection that is accomplished through my confession of faith that I daily confess." Honey, that's not what God intended for us. Amen. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God offers a supernatural peace, amen, that counteracts anything that the pressures of the world has brought upon us. The kingdom of God offers us, amen, an exchange, amen. It offers us a supernatural joy. We used to sing it, "The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. For me to live is Christ, and to die, amen, is defeat. No, to die is gain. And I don't think he was just talking about the final ultimate going out of this body into heaven's glories. I believe as Paul sanctified himself daily, he died daily, and he gained all of those blessings and benefits of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because in a prison house, he's got peace. In a prison house, not knowing his fate the next day, he's filled with joy. And the book of Philippians, so encouraging, was written in a prison with an uncertain future, but a certain faith in a faithful God. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. I'm so glad when my faith shook My God didn't. Amen. Listen to trials. What do we focus on? The force of faith to bring us through, or the faithfulness of God? Think it not strange? The fiery trial. That's not the run in your hose just before you go to church. Can you say amen? Some people say, how are you, Sister Hoopendicker? Oh, I was fine. I was all primed and ready to worship God. Look at this. I mean, that's about all it takes to throw some people off of gratitude and thanksgiving. And then there's Sister Horkin. Well, we're using sisters because it's just easier, because the man is driving, or he would do it, you know. On the way to church, we try to shift gears. You know, the kids are in the back going haywire. Amen. Going absolutely nuts. Look like monkeys on the loose or something, you know. And you're on the way to church and you want to pray a little bit, try to get into the frame of mind to worship. And they're all going bouncing around the seat, and you're telling them to hush, and you're telling them to shut up, and you're telling them to sit down. And they're not hushing or shutting up or sitting down. Amen. And you're Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you, Lord. We just want to... Sit down. Shut up. We just want to bless your name today. Amen. So easy to lose focus, isn't it? Amen. That's the real world. Amen. Waiting on the bathroom so you can shave or whatever to get ready for church. And come on. We're running late. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No, I've been around my own house, and I know how all this stuff works. I don't have to go to your house. Got a house of my own. Raised kids. Amen. Got dogs. Got all kinds of issues. Listen, God wants your focus on Him. And if your focus is on the force of faith you've developed, it is not on your God. And if your faith wavers, what are you going to do? Listen. Think it not strange. It's not unusual living in a fallen world and a faulty body to have some real trials and tests. You have an enemy down here, amen, and he persecutes the righteous. He comes against us in many different ways. Listen to this carefully, amen. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. But be faithful. Use your faith. Stand on the word. It doesn't start with it. All that's good stuff and all that's important stuff, but it's not top shelf stuff. Where's your focus supposed to go? To your faith? To your ability to believe? To your strength, your power, your Holy Ghost anointing? What's it say? Think it not strange, the fiery trial that's come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. But God, look at the focus shifting. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God, thou, O Lord, are my shield and my buckler. My shield of faith is my trust in my faithful God. Can you say amen? Not my trust in my ability to stand all this because I've become mighty in faith. No, I am actually weak. And I am absolutely dependent on my God. But in that situation, my God shows himself strong. In fact, he says in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, amen to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He calls for dependence. Hallelujah. Two times in the New Testament, Jesus used the term great faith, and only two times. And he didn't use it with Peter, James, John, Matthew. Amen. Hello? Only two times did Jesus use the term great faith. And a lot of people preaching today would have never attributed great faith to a centurion who came and asked healing for his servant that he loved like a son. Nobody would call him great faith. He's not standing on the word, you know, like a banty rooster. I'm the man. Centurion comes to Jesus. And he says, Lord, I've got a servant I love like a son. He's sick unto death. And Jesus, in his compassionate love for all mankind, says, I will come and heal him, because he saw the humble heart of the centurion. Can you say amen? And the centurion, knowing, listen, if you fought in the army of Caesar, you have used that sword. You didn't just wear it as an ornament. Can you say amen? You've used it against the enemies of Rome or lands they wanted to take. And he'd earned he'd went up the ranks and he had 100 men. That's why they called him a centurion. 100 men were under his direct command. And he was under Rome's command and Caesar in particular. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. This man who had spilled blood knew he was in the presence of a holy one. And he recognized that holy one, not just as a faith healer, but more than that. Can you say, man, that's what's wrong with a lot of meetings. We're going to get a touch from a faith healer or someone's anointing instead of recognizing the only one that can heal us, amen, is the Holy One. And we need to treat that meeting with the due reverence for the Holy One. Can you say, man? Can you say, man? We might have more than just a few sick folk healed. We might have a Holy Ghost revival if we would reverence the presence of Almighty God instead of put the person on a pedestal. Can you say amen? How many knows nobody can heal nobody? The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. But who is the only one that can actually raise them up? Jesus. My aunt used to say to people that had problems, you need to go and let Henny Penn touch you. She got his name backward all the time. Henny Penn. No, we need God's touch. Can you say amen? And if God don't touch you, Henny Penn can't heal you. Can you say amen? The prayer of faith is the best thing we can offer. The Lord. There's a gift of healing, but who does it? Who does it? God does it. Who gets the glory? God gets it. Whose name is exalted? The name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So many people are so afraid God's going to hand them a cross and say, deny yourself. Take this and follow me. Because if you don't take this, don't kid yourself. You can't follow me. This was a prerequisite for discipleship. Joining the church today, there's less demands. And I'm not talking about the paperwork. I'm talking about spiritual demands. There's less demands on being a church member than there is on being a Boy Scout. Miss too many meetings at the Boy Scouts, you're out. As long as you send your tithe into the church, they don't care if you're there or not, you're in. They have an active membership and an inactive membership. They say 1,500 come to this church. How come you only see 500 in the building? As long as that other bunch keeps sending in something, they're active members. They don't care about making disciples. They care about building buildings, appearing successful, getting enough to pay all the bills. God don't want just heads in a building. If any man be my disciple, and didn't he tell us to go and build churches in all the earth? Amen. And large parsonages and great prestigious cars. And no, you know what he said? Go and make disciples unto me out of all nations, teaching them to what? Observe and to do everything that I command you. Can you say amen? And the reason the seeker-friendly church thing, it built the big churches. It filled them with people. I mean, every time I heard that particular doctrine, I thought, here's the church. Here's the steeple. Bottom line. Ready for the bottom line? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. There's all the people. Jesus had 5,000 of those people on the shores of Galilee. He got in a boat, pushed out, so that the wind coming off the sea would carry his voice without amplification. And everyone could hear him say plainly, if any one of you, why didn't he just zip it up? Why didn't he just build a sanctuary by the sea? People could take a vacation and go to church at the same time. Can you say amen? Amen? Why did he have to say this and run a bunch of them off? If any one of you, you that came for the best wine, you that came for the healings and the miracles, if any one of you want to truly follow me and be my disciple, Let him deny himself. Take up his cross. That means anybody that claims to be a follower of Jesus and doesn't deny that self-indulgent attitude of the flesh can never truly follow him, because he lived a selfless life instead of a selfish life. Hello? But today, following him just actually breeds more selfishness, because following him is going to make me rich and famous. Well, where's the cross? Where is that cross? The cross I have to bear is not letting my Mercedes get dented in the Walmart parking lot. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's tough being rich like this. I can't hardly enjoy shopping for fear of someone denting my BMW. And you know a buggy is going to be let loose out there. And it's going to roll into your BMW. People don't laugh at this, so I don't expect you to, but it's still, the yuppie that's so materialistic is driving along in his Mercedes, and he's got his $25,000. Oh, and that's one of the cheap ones. They go up to $50,000. I saw one on sale for $25,000, a Rolex for $25,000. And he's driving along on a summer day, and a guy runs through a stop sign, and he's coming through, and it hits him and just mangles his arm. His arm is just hanging by a couple of tendons here. Just no good. And he's sitting there, and the people run over and said, "You are okay. Are you okay? Are you okay?" And he reaches down with his good arm. He pulls up and says, "My Rolex, my beautiful Rolex." A man's life has to consist more, Jesus said, than the abundance of things that he possesses. So when it said he came to give you life more abundantly, we don't look at Hollywood to see what that is. We don't look at Wall Street or the bankers to see what that is. Can you say, man? We look directly at the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What does that mean? It's not something you indulge your flesh with. But it is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say, man? Somebody give God praise in this room. We haven't got to Jonah in the belly of that whale yet, but we're on our way. It's a long way down there to where Jonah is, 20,000 leagues under the sea. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're still swimming in that direction, but I believe we're going to get there. When we get there, we're going to find out that you can give thanks, not only when you don't have anything but God. Amen. Then you can give thanks that you have God. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Amen. 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 God, give me a grateful, greatly grateful heart. My wife said it. What was welling up as she was on to the hospital, not knowing this lady had a chance or been challenged to pray the sinner's prayer? What gratitude is coming up at 5 a.m. on Christmas morning when someone is dying and she's on the way to the hospital? What's welling up on the inside of her? You know what's welling up? I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord, that I know you. Thank you that I'm not the one laying there without the comfort of the Holy Spirit, without the peace of God, without the anticipation of what this kingdom offers us in the life to come. Oh, money can't buy that. Amen. It doesn't matter what kind of fleet of automobiles you own, what kind of diamonds and rings you have. When one day, this lady got a pain, a tummy ache. She went to the emergency room for a tummy ache. And I hate to break this to you, but everybody in this room, one day, something is going to quit in this old faulty body. Else you couldn't go to heaven. You couldn't die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And God says it doesn't matter what else you have when that day comes. Who shall all these things belong to? What good is any of this? Now, it's not that the Father don't want to bless us. He does. It's not that he doesn't bless us. He does. Amen. But the greater blessing is not anything materially he could ever lavish upon. The greater blessing is knowing. Even the power of God. Some people think because I'm so highly anointed, they get caught up in their own sense of and there's that independence again. I'm the anointed one. I've got the power. The disciples about to fall for that and lose their gratitude. Gratitude was the foundation for operating in independence for God. Is the ingratitude. They were losing the thing they should truly be thankful for. And they said, oh, Lord, we are fired up. Well, I've seen people get fired up, and I've seen them get shot down. This better be more than a wind sprint. I can run good for about 50 yards. If I get in a fight right now, I got to win in the first 15 seconds. So I'm going to be like a Tasmanian devil for 15 seconds. Amen. 15 seconds, I'm going to be all over you. After that, I'm going to, you won't have to hit me. I'm going to pass out. You won't even have to swing on me. Just let me, just guard until I'm, for 15 seconds, I will pass out for lack of oxygen. I'll just fall over. One time I started running. I was going to run off 224 pounds. I go punish my body. I put my headphones on, got some good high-octane praise music, kind of make you want to move. And I started going around that track, and I started jogging. Then I started trotting. I said, man, I can do this. I'm still young. You know, confess it. You know, I'm still my confession. And I started running, and I started running. And I thought I was the only one on that track that day that was running around this school, you know, this quarter mile, and then you make it. Amen. And I'm running, and I'm huffing, I'm running, and I'm running, and I hear this wheeze. I hear it over my headphones, and I thought, somebody else is running on this track with me, trying to outrun me. And I just looked to see if, you know, man, woman, boy, girl, what else is running with me? And there wasn't nobody there. And I turned the volume down on my headphones. Guess who was making that huffing, puffing, wheezing sound? Overriding my octane praise music. It was me. I was sucking air. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people bust out of the gate. This is not a spiritual wind sprint. This is an endurance race. This is something you run until you're done. And you're not done until the last breath you draw. You never get out of the race. And they that endure to the finish line. Can you say amen? They that endure to the end. They that don't turn back, don't fall back into unbelief, don't turn their back on Christ. They that endure to the end. The same shall be saved. We keep the beginning. We're partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence. There again, it's not independence, it's dependence all the way. Amen? Steadfast unto what? The end. Can you say amen? How am I going to endure to the end, endure the flesh, endure the culture coming against me, endure the devil coming against me? By keeping my confidence in Christ. Can you say amen? I can do all things through my faith that has been so highly developed because of brother so-and-so's excellent ministry. No, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Where's the dependence on your faith or your Savior, your Sovereign, your King, your God? Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So go home and get rid of them tapes before they shipwreck your soul. Filling you with the fear of Satan stealing it from you, or God not giving it to you because your faith isn't right where it should be. How much fear is that? You know what he said that I love? I'll uphold you, Israel. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That means to pick you up and suspend you totally. All of him, none of you. That's victory in Jesus. Because the part that you, I don't care if it's 9/10 him and 1/10 you. The 1/10 you is Satan's target. That's the weak link in your victory. Can you say amen? Amen? But when it's all God, there is no weak link. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We like to think that we can drive. And I've often said it before, Lord, I don't want to drive anymore. I do not want the wheel. I want you to drive. And how many know that, generally speaking, my wife today, we went around a curve, and I do drive erratically. I will tell you, I'm very safe, but I'm erratic. I took my grandson and his girlfriend. I took them somewhere to do something with him and them and get to know her. And you know, I'm going along, and I heard his girlfriend, and she's very abrupt and outspoken. I heard her in the back seat as I did something that I always do, but it may not be what everybody else does to get where I'm going. And I heard her in the back seat say, "I'm watching you." I looked in the rearview mirror. She's looking at me. I said, okay. "I'm watching you." See, I don't want to just be a backseat driver either. Telling the Lord, no. Listen, Lord, we can get there by taking this super highway right here. It's smooth as silk. It'll cut down on the time. We can save gas and wear and tear on the car and the tires. We can get there in 5 minutes this way. It's going to take 8 hours this way. And that road is around curves on the mountain. You can see off. We could go off the edge." And he's sitting there saying, Wait a minute. Who's driving this car?
Yeah.
Amen. You want to drive again? You know what happens when I drive, Lord. Lord, stop the car. Stop it right here, right now. I want out. And I get out. And I go around to the trunk, and I pop the trunk, and I get in, and I close the trunk. "Okay, Lord, let's go." Father, I trust you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Wherever God wants to take me, he's going to get me there. He's going to take roads that I would never take to get me there.
Yes, he does.
But if he's going to get me there, I'm going to have to let him drive. I sure enough hate to turn loose of this wheel because I like to feel like I'm in control. There is a teaching on faith that puts you at the wheel. But the true biblical teaching on faith puts him at the wheel. And you in the back seat? Oh, no. Because everybody that sits in the back seat. Oh, do you ever hear these people? I mean, I always see these people. No offense to anyone here because, you know, our bellies are not near as big as their bellies. But do you see these people talking about football players on the field? And they're sitting back eating pork rinds and Pepsi. Can you say, man? Can you say? and the pork rinds and Pepsis after we've already had, you know, 3 dozen of them wings from the wing house with all that barbecue on it. Amen. And this is not our first Pepsi either. We done killed the leader. Now we're working on, you know, the second leader. And we're sitting there telling, hey, come on, hit him, man. Come on, get up and go. You're saying, hold it. Wouldn't it be great when all these people are screaming that if the team that was on the field said, okay, all right, come on. They walk off the field, and these guys come down there.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Boy, wouldn't that be a sight? For all those people hollering to tell them how to do it in the stands had to get out on the field and play the game. Wouldn't that be a sight? I don't want to drive. I want God to drive. And sometimes I want to shut my eyes in the trunk and trust that on this precarious road that I would never take, it's going to bring us to where God wants us to be. And you know something? We're going to get there safely. No matter what it may look like. I'd rather be in the will of God in on the high seas in a hurricane than to be out of the will of God on a calm sea. Because if that happens, believe me, a storm is going to come. And something God created to hold me is going to surface. Amen. Jonah said, and hear the independence. I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going to chart my own course. And God says, you think you're going to Tarshish. I love you. What he was saying was, I love you too much to have the blood of all those people on your hands for not giving them an opportunity to repent. Let me tell you, he wasn't just a disobedient man. He wasn't just a man that had a rebellious heart against God. He was a human being like you and I. And you know what they had done to previous prophets according to the history of this thing? The Bible said they tore them asunder. They literally would hook up a team of horses and tie them with the ropes that you would moor a boat with at their feet and arms. And they would whip the horses to make them run. And it would either tear them in half at the middle, asunder, into pieces, or tear their arms and legs out of their sockets and leave the trunk. And God said, I want you to go down and tell those people judgment's coming. Don't want you to tell them I love them. Don't want you to tell them that I got great blessings for them. I want you to go down and tell them judgment's coming.
Come on.
And he knew, if I tell them that, this is probably going to happen to me. So I am going to Tarshish. And don't be too hard on him. Can you say amen? Come on, don't say, oh, bless God, anything he wants. I surrender all except Nineveh. I surrender all except Nineveh. Can you say amen? You don't surrender all till you surrender all. But in the belly of that whale, Jonah surrendered all. And he said, Lord, I thank you. And we'll read the story some night. And I'm going to pay my vows. What vows was he forgetting? And he needed to pay. Every time God delivers any of us through anything, large and small, we say, Lord, I'm going to give you praise and thanksgiving. And then something else happens and we lose that focus and we don't pay our vows. And my Bible said if you make a vow to God, it's not like promising me something
Amen.
Or promising somebody else something.
Amen.
God said, God writes it down.
Amen.
He's a holy God. That's why the Bible said to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Don't tell him how great a disciple you're going to be until you take up your cross and take a few steps. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Better not to make a vow when you're in God's house than to make it and then break it. So Jonah was telling him down in that old whale's belly, Lord, I'm gonna start paying him right now. I thank you. I thank you. And I'm going to pay my vows. I heard a preacher on television preaching that. The way you pay your vows is to send him money. That was his whole message for about 6 weeks. The vows God's holding you to is far greater than anything materially you can offer him. In fact, when you offer him something material without gratitude in your heart, he rejects it. Isn't that incredible? We're just trying to get people to turn loose of it like a dentist pulling teeth, yanking it out instead of loving him, and honoring him, bowing him before him and reverencing him. Getting ready to close. In his sermon on Psalm 103, Clovis Chappell says that on the west coast of England, there's a grave of a man who was much loved by all who knew him. When he died, these words were inscribed on his headstone. Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus. Can you say amen? Isn't that an incredible thing to be known for? That meant he didn't need Jesus in this and Jesus in that to be extraordinarily grateful and happy his whole life. Wouldn't it be great to find some Christians that right where they are in life were so satisfied with Jesus that they have a greatly grateful heart day in and day out? Chappell then adds this benediction. If that can be said of us, we have sufficient to make all of time and eternity one great Thanksgiving day. Can you say amen? Or as one great Christian said, a true Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot every single day. Can you say amen? How many know we'll all struggle with the flesh to be consistent? That's why we have to constantly cultivate this gratitude in our heart. When you're in trouble, thank him that you have a God to call upon. Thank him that Jesus died so you could come into his holy presence. Thank you. You have a God who's alongside of you, who promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and invites you to roll your burden over on him so that you don't have to be broken under the load. Thank Him. Not because the devil is trying to defeat you, but thank you that he can't defeat you as long as He, God, is your shield and your buckler. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God. It's if you look at the you keep watching the Bible. We have no might or power. Well, I got 5 minutes to 12:30. I'll just pick a random number. It could be 1:30, but it's just trying to end on an even number. Listen to me. Amen. We have no might or no power. What a most terrible confession I've ever heard. You confess that, the devil's going to trump all over you. Amen. You know what? Hezekiah said, we have no might and we have no power. We have no might. What a bad confession. Dear Lord, the devil's going to trump on you. No, he's not. No, he's not. That's what God is listening to hear. Someone is absolutely dependent on him instead of independent from him. In the name of faith of all things. In the name of faith, trying to operate independent from God. David, why don't you attack that army? Why don't you just use your faith and go running at them? He said, because I'm waiting for some wind on this perfectly still day. I'm waiting on wind to blow that tree where there is no wind on any other tree. How's the wind going to blow one tree? He said, it's not just any kind of wind. Yeah. Amen. It's the Spirit of God going out before us. Yeah. I ain't going to battle by my faith. I'm going to battle behind God's wind. Can you say amen? When God goes before us, we'll win every battle. When God goes before us, we can't lose. But I ain't stepping out there without something to indicate that God has went before us. Is that faith in His faith or faith in His God? It's faith in His God. And it hasn't changed in the new covenant. Wow. When we want to become little gods, we're trying to take that from Him. He didn't intend that. He created us to be dependent on Him. Oh, by, let's get this guy healed. I got 4 minutes. Let's get him healed. Think we can get a man healed in 4 minutes? Centurion, humble dependency. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But I'm a man under authority. And I tell men to go and they go. They come and they come. Speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. Jesus said, I haven't found faith like this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John the Baptist. Come on. I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How was it manifest? What earned Jesus giving it that kind of credibility? Humble dependency. Say it with me. Humble dependency. There was no pride. There was no sense of independence, but an absolute dependence on the one he saw as holy and operating in full authority. His faith was in God, not in his faith or his anointing or his calling or any of his gifts, but in his God. And Jesus said, that's great faith. You can get books at the Christian bookstore and it'll redefine it for you. And it'll put you in the driver's seat. And that's the last place you want to be. Can you say amen? Amen. I do not intend to have another nervous breakdown while preaching the gospel and talking about faith. I want to ride in the trunk from here to heaven. And I don't care what kind of roads he takes. Just let me out when we get there. Hallelujah. Lord, just... Glory to God. Everybody say the trunk is where I need to ride. Glory to God. Well, you're going to have to turn loose that steering wheel, old hoss. And you're going to have to get out of the back seat. And you say amen. Because back there I watch him. And he does things I would never do. But he's going to get us there. If we trust him. I love you today. I want to see real faith develop in you that takes the pressure off you and gives you peace in every circumstance of life. God will not fail you. He won't forsake you. Can you say amen? He'll go with you all the way. And when you're weak, just trust him, because true strength comes when you're totally dependent on him. I want to see a revival in America when we get back to a dependence, a real, genuine. I want to see preachers walk out unprepared that feel inadequate.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Preachers that say, Lord, if you don't move, nothing of any true, eternal, or spiritual significance. I'm not preaching for a hand clap or a bonus. I'm not preaching for an offering or to build an edifice called a church that people can look and see some symbol of my success. I'm preaching, amen, to please my master. And without the anointing, without the Holy Spirit touching lives, nothing of any eternal or spiritual significance is going to be done. I might be able to emotionally move people, make them laugh and make them cry, make them clap and make them shout. But only the Holy Spirit can make them disciples of Jesus when they surrender to God. Can you say amen? And I'm dependent on you, Lord. I'm dependent on you. You know what? We might just hear from heaven on Sunday morning. We might just hear what the Spirit has to say, not what the preacher has prepared. Hallelujah. And believe me, the Spirit of God has much to say to the church in this last day. And I want to hear what the Spirit says to the church, that I might obey God in my life. And I might be kept by the power of God until the day of redemption. Will you stand today? Brother, would you come? Number one on that song list. And would you keep that for tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. And we'll do some more. But I want to have a worshipful heart that is not easily interrupted. I can't say it won't be interrupted, but when it is, I want to get it back quickly. Yes, I want to shift my focus to the good things of God and the goodness of God. David said that's the only thing that kept me from being crushed by all the circumstances that befell me. I had fainted. I had been crushed. I'm a human being. I can kill a giant without like that. But there's a giant within that rises up that's not as easily conquered. You can't kill it or defeat it with a sling and an anointing. Can you say amen? This is only defeated by an absolute trust in a living, listening, lifting, loving God. Amen? And David developed that trust. And he said, that trust in him has become my shield of faith and my buckler in battle. Hallelujah. And David became, instead of the failure and the broken man and the defeated man, he became, amen, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And Jesus, in honor of Jesus, they called him, because of the lineage, the son of David. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's commit to worshiping him. Let's turn loose of the wheel. Let's turn from our wicked way. Can you say amen? And let's bow. For me to take you where I purpose for you to be, you have to turn loose and let me make the decisions and let me direct. You that are trying to use your faith to get me to do what you believe my will is, you will never know my will, nor will you fulfill it until you surrender. And when you surrender, be thankful. Right where you are right now, that you are in my hand and that I will never forsake you. And then pray in full surrender and humble dependence, and you will not only see the salvation of the Lord, but you will see my glory as well, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Let's bring it up and let's give him praise. Are you ready to worship him? To get ready for Thursday night?